Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. I tell you, when that choir gets going, my spirits automatically lift up toward God. And I hope yours does too. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. We are glad that you are in the house of the Lord and that we are in his presence. We believe that God is here. Praise the Lord. And we welcome all of you, especially if you're visiting with us today. We are glad to have you and pray that you will find us in us a welcome home that is meant especially for you, for those that are here with us for the first time. Also, I ask that you sign the registration pad. This may be the last week you have to do that. We're going to change our plans just a little bit and do things a tad differently. But we appreciate you for doing that and signing up so that we can keep track of who's here and who's not here. We want to know, especially if you're visiting, we want to know your details. We want to know everything about you. Yes, yes. Let us praise our God in passing the peace of Christ this morning to your neighbors in front of you and behind you. So that we may pass God's peace to each other, peace of Christ.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning on this cold day. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I will be your liturgist and servant for today. There are your regular announcements on the back of the bulletin. No changes in that. I do have just a couple of additional announcements. Please don't forget the Saturday night dinner on the 7th at 6 o'clock. It's a sweetheart dinner. Bring a friend or anybody that you would want to bring in the love of God. The dinner that night will encompass spaghetti, salad, bread, and a dessert. The tickets are $10 per person or $25 per family. I believe that Robin still has the tickets for those. You sure can.
What we would like for everybody to understand is this dinner is a fellowship dinner. In honor of Valentine's Day, in honor of how we love Christ and how we love each other as a family of God, what I want you to know is it's not your typical dinner where you can get a ticket at the door, okay? We do have to have a cutoff, and that will be next Sunday, February 1st. We need to know how many people will be here because we are paying to have the food catered. So that's a little different. You know, normally you can come and buy your ticket at the door, but we really want you to know that, you know, I don't want to have to turn anybody away. So please, by next Sunday, buy your ticket. I myself will have them. Nancy Walker, Sue has them in the office. Janine Ward's been selling them at the first service, so please think about coming and joining us and celebrating the love of Christ.
Thank you, Robin. Also, too, we have two new Bible studies that are going to be started. One is of the New Testament that's being performed by Pastor Esther, and it starts February 4th at 2 p.m. here at the church. The other one is headed up by Gene Clark. It will be of the Old Testament, and the dates for that will be announced at a later time. So if any of you want to sign up for that, please do so. I think you can still, is that done through the church office or online still?
That's not for the one online.
Okay.
That's in the church office.
Church office. Okay.
Rhonda, there's also one on Thursday night starting February 5th at 7 o'clock here at the church.
Okay, did everyone hear that?
The third Bible study is, it will start February 5th, which is a Thursday night, here at the church, 7 o'clock, and what we're going to be studying is God's will, and all are invited to come to that.
Amen.
Amen. We also still have the announcement regarding the district training leadership. It is so warm in here that I'm going to have a problem. I hope you guys have turned that, because I'm not breathing well. Anyway, that particular leadership training is happening on Saturday, January 31st. So that would be this coming Saturday.
You sign up for online.
Yes, that is the one that is signed up online. I'm not going to go over the classes like I did last week. There are several classes that are available. For instance, I believe that Ron Coleman is attending the Child Youth Protection.
Yes.
Okay. So there's several in here classes that they're offering for leadership training. There's also another announcement here. Larry and Diane are not here this morning, but Larry has imparted to us that if you know of anybody, or if you in fact do have any fruit trees in your yard and you're not wanting to pick them, they're unwanted, please let Larry Rude know. His number is 738-1190. He is willing to come and pick that fruit and then bring it up here to the food pantry to be given out on Friday. And then also, too, the newsletters are out for this month. Are there any other announcements? Yes, I have an announcement too. As far as my oldest son, David Corey, he has checked out on his FAA, so he's completely checked out as an air traffic controller. So he is done with all of his schooling, and it was a huge celebration for him. Okay. Fran? Yes, they do.
So you want to go to the movies next Sunday?
Are you serious? Next Sunday? No way.
Well, how about shooting hoops then?
Dude, come on, next Sunday? Are you kidding?
Come on, man, what's so special about next Sunday?
You must be Florida. No one in the United States who doesn't know.
Who doesn't know what?
Dude, come on, you know.
No, I don't know. Please tell me.
Well, okay. I'll give you a major hint. It's good.
You call that a clue? Sounds more like a commercial for soup.
Well, I guess you could say it is.
Okay, I'm curious. There's something happening next Sunday, and it has to do with soup, right?
Well, right so far.
I give up.
What? You can't just give up.
Of course I can. This is completely ridiculous. I ask you to go see a movie, and I get a song about soup. Maybe I'll just go bowl.
You guessed it, Jabari. Good work.
I guessed it? I guessed it. Not bad. I knew I could do it all along. So the answer was a movie about soup, right? Gosh, this is really intense.
Sorry, Jabari. Guess again. He was so close.
Bowl? Bowl.
The answer is bowl. Ta-da! Ding, ding, ding! You got it, Jabari. Now for some big bonus credits. Or you could say extra points. Can you figure it out?
Bowl soup? That doesn't make any sense. Soup. Oh, okay. It's Super Bowl Sunday, right?
Well, you're partially right.
What do you mean partially right, Joseph?
Well, actually, I was thinking of a soup bowl.
You were?
Yeah. You see, the youth group is doing a mission project next Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday.
Sunday.
And at the end of the worship service, we're going to take up an offering in soup bowls. Oh, actually, soup pots. Bowls don't hold very much. Anyway, we're going to give the money to the Calvary Food Pantry. Youth all over the country are going to participate in this Super Bowl Sunday.
Sunday.
Mission project.
And they're all going to meet in the food pantry?
No, Jabari. Each youth group is going to take their funds to a local soup kitchen or food pantry.
Hey, Joseph.
Yeah, what is it?
I personally think that is a super idea.
So, folks, if you really want to make a difference in someone's life, please remember to drop some $100 bills in a case of soup in our soup pots on your way out of the worship next week.
It'll make you feel good.
Also, too, as part of the announcements, don't forget your prayer and praise cards. Please fill those out and place those in the offering plate as it goes by. And if you've done a salty service this week, if you've done something for a neighbor, a friend, coworker, please place that into the offering plate as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Okay. If you will all join me in the opening words and prayer inside your bulletin. Christ is calling you as disciples. Lord Jesus, let us follow you faithfully. You will be led into fields of mission and service. Lord Jesus, where you lead us, we will go. Listen for Christ's call to you. We are ready to serve the Lord. Amen. And now let us pray. O God, you are our light and our salvation. Living in your presence, we have nothing to fear. Open our hearts to your word this day. As we hear the story of the call of the first disciples, make us ready to follow Jesus on whatever path he leads us. Cast aside our fears and doubts, and teach us to trust wholly in you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now if you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 261, we'll sing Lord of the Dance.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun. And I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. And I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. Yeah.
If you turn to number 882, we'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified,
died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen.
John, are you the only one that's going to come forward? Do we have any other children here today? Alana doesn't want to come up.
Joseph, Laura.
Well, I was going to ask you guys. Yes. You'll come up. Mary, you can come up anytime. I was going to ask your help in passing out these buckets. This is just a reminder that we have our fundraiser for malaria, to put an end to malaria in the United Methodist Church. And our goal is printed right there on that jug in the back. It says $1,000 this year. We have a whole year to raise it. But we want you to bring your spare change and put it in that jug so that we can collect this money that the United Methodist Church is going to use to end malaria. And that would be wonderful. That would be terrific. Thank you very much. But we'll just leave those here. And if you want to put a contribution in either those or in the jug in the back, you are welcome to do so. But what I want to talk to John today about is about Jonah. Do you know anything about Jonah, John? You think he got ate by a whale. Yeah, that's the story of Jonah and the whale. And the reason he did was because he was trying to run away from God. He was trying to keep from having to do what God had asked him to do. And that was to go to the city of Nineveh and preach God's word there. He didn't want to do that. And the reason was that he didn't like the Ninevites. He thought they were bad people, and they were. But he didn't want them to convert either. But God said, nope, this is where you're going to go, whether you like it or not. You're going to go there, and you're going to help the people of Nineveh. Even if you don't like them, you're going to preach the word of God to them. And we sometimes do the same thing. There are people that we do not like. Now, can you think of any group of people, and I'm going to write it down, if you can think, and maybe the congregation can help, who are those people that we don't like? Maybe it's a football team, maybe it's somebody else that we can think of that's them and not us. Who can you think of that's them and not us? That's a hard one. Anybody want to help him out? Who's them? High school rivals. I'm going to do it like that. Anybody else that we can think of? Who else that we think is them and not us?
Florida State.
Okay. Whoever said that was a brave person.
Late before I get down there.
Florida State. Ah. Ah, somebody said ISIS. Boy, that's somebody we don't like at all.
Everybody that don't fit in.
Okay. So people who are different? Maybe I should say that, people who are different? Different people. Everybody who's different from us. And the Ninevites were different, and Jonah did not like that. Who else is them and not us?
Bullies.
People that persecute us, that's bullies. We can put that under the category of bullies. All right, well, let's stop there. Now, I want to show you one picture that I drew that says Ninevites on it. It says Ninevites on it. And what does it have around there?
A heart.
And that represents the fact that God loved them. He didn't like what they were doing. He loved them enough to send Jonah there and preach the word of God. So what does that mean? If God loves the Ninevites, what should we do about these people that we don't like? Put a heart around it. Can you do that for me? Can you put a heart around them for me? There you go. That's all right. Just however you want. That's perfect. You can do it exactly like that. Try to make it big. That's good. Put a heart around it. There you go. There you go. And the last one. Okay, very good. So let's see what we got here now. What we have, put a cap on that. Our high school rivals, we put a heart around that because guess what? Even our worst enemy is loved by God. Florida State, guess what? God surrounds Florida State. Yes. And look at this enemy that we have here, ISIS. That's a tough one. That's a hard one. But guess what? ISIS is a lot like the Ninevites. ISIS is a lot like them because they're doing a lot of bad things, and that's what the Ninevites did. But God still sent Jonah to preach his words to them. And people who are different from us, different people. God still surrounds different people with love. And those who are bad to us are bullies. And guess what? Is God's heart around bullies? Is God's heart God's love? Yes, just like God's love was for the Ninevites. God's love is for all these people. If God can love them, guess what? We're supposed to love them too. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for your goodness and know that we could never measure up to your standard. But help us be your people in this time and in this place that we may love others the way you have loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Ushers, please come forward for our time at the altar together. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you give us every good gift possible. We pray, O God, that we would receive these gifts with grateful hearts and that we use what you give us for furthering your kingdom. All that we have is from you, dear God, and we pray your blessing upon this church and upon its people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
praising God and spins things in harmony. Runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. Where the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory.
I want you to turn in your hymnals for me as we prepare to go to God in prayer, and turn to page 344. We're actually going to sing this a little bit later on, but what I would like us to do right now is to enter into this time of prayer by reading together the first verse of this hymn, just the first verse of this hymn. Lord, you have come to the lakeshore. And then we will follow that by our time of silence and offering up the prayers that we offer every week to God. Those prayers of concern, prayers of joy, prayers of praise, prayers of need, whatever those prayers are, we will bring them to God. Will you join me in this hymn? Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. O Lord, with your eyes you have searched me, and while smiling have spoken my name. Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side I will seek other seas. Let's bow our head and pray.
Unspoken.
Interesting. Mom and Dad.
My family.
Our family.
Bruce Royal.
Dorothy Dornfeld.
An announcement of a new grandchild.
Billy Miner. Thankful for this church and all its ministries.
My family.
Pastor Esther.
Lord, you have come to the lake shore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones. You only ask me to follow humbly. The words from this hymn paint pictures of hard-working people going about their daily tasks when they are suddenly confronted by Jesus. This same Jesus who long ago called to those first disciples calls to us each today. Our lake shores are different. They are the places where we work and where we live. Yet in this song, Jesus is coming for each one of us just as we are and inviting us to follow him humbly. We have lifted the names of loved ones today in prayerful petition for God's healing love. We have uttered in our hearts names in situations that it would break our hearts to speak aloud. And God hears all our cries and responds in love. This is one of the faithful works of the church, the work of prayer, asking for God's healing mercy and blessings. As we have offered our prayers, let us also offer our lives, trusting in God's love and call to us, responding with confidence. For it is in Jesus' name and with his words that we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And if you'd stand and turn to page 361 in your hymnals, we'll sing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading is out of Jonah 3, 1 through 5, and then verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Now get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And now to Mark 1, 14 through 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Thanks be to God for the reading of this word.
Thanks be to God. Oh, certainly, Gene. Thank you. Well, the Clarks are important to us, and we want you to know how much we care and love you and pray your blessing upon your family at this particular time. There's a movie called Gone Fishing. It starred Danny Glover and Joe Pesci as two fools whose only passion in life is to fish. And they do some fishing. They battle some alligators. They wreck a few boats. But the interesting thing is that they never catch a fish the whole time. It reminded me of this parable. There once was a fishing village on the shore of this great lake which was stocked full of fish. The fishermen of the village diligently debated and discussed what fishing is and how best to do it and what equipment to use. They invested millions in boats, in gear, and a fishing headquarters which they hired staff for. They sent emissaries around the world to other lakes and rivers for fish. But one day, a little child stood up in their meeting and said, "You all claim to be great fishermen. How come you've never caught a fish?" Indeed, no one in the village had actually ever caught a fish. They had never even been fishing. And that's the example that is given to us about what we must do in order to reach people for Christ. We have the example of the fishermen who cast their nets into the sea and bring in the fish. Now, we're not the first to have had reluctance to share our faith with strangers. The book of Jonah, which I sort of familiarized you with the children, It's one of the oldest books in the Bible. And it tells the story of this reluctant evangelist. Rather than heeding God's call to reach out to the strangers in Nineveh, Jonah fled in the other direction. And we know what happened to him when he did. Ironically, in his reluctance to be a fisherman for God, he became fish bait. And even after the great fish spewed Jonah out onto the shore, Jonah went and converted the people of Nineveh, but he still had no compassion for them. In fact, Jonah's actually very angry. He's still thinking about all the people that the Ninevites killed, all the lives that they have destroyed, all the damage that they did. And he feels that this cannot be right. This can't be the way things end for Nineveh. It's not fair, he says. It's just not fair that God would change his mind and save the Ninevites. And Jonah's right. It's not fair. But it is the way God operates, a fact for which we should all be glad, very glad indeed. Jonah is one of those stories in the Bible that's true without being particularly factual. It's like the Hollywood movie that says, based on a true story. There was a man named Jonah, and you can find him in 2 Kings 14:25. One small mention. But he appears to have been a very nationalistic prophet, kind of a God and country sort of man. And the Assyrians had been a very powerful and feared nation, headquartered in that big city of Nineveh. And this was about 100 years or so before our text was written. Well, the author took these facts to spin a story that aimed at getting the people of Israel to broaden their understanding of the wideness of God's mercy. If God can love and forgive the people of Nineveh, God can love and forgive anybody, including us. If God can love and forgive the people of, fill in the blank with whoever you hate, God can love and forgive anybody, including us. And if God can love and forgive anybody, so can we. We've been talking last week and this week about what it means to be a servant. And to say, here I am, God, use me. Well, what if God is calling us to do something we don't want to do? What if God is calling us to extend not only God's mercy, but our mercy? Not only God's love, but our love. Not only God's forgiveness, but our forgiveness to people we don't like, people we don't believe deserve love and forgiveness and mercy. God does. So here we sit, like the disciples, minding our own business, mending our own nets, being nice and good to those who are nice and good to us. Busy about the business of creating a friendly family church. When suddenly we hear this voice walking along the shoreline saying to us, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near to you. Repent and believe the good news. how shall we respond? Will we repent? Will we change our minds about what's important and alter the direction of our lives to follow more closely God's call upon our lives? Will we leave whatever boats and nets represent in our lives and follow after the one who calls us by name? Will we go to Nineveh, that hated place, and preach God's love? The fact is, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, we cannot catch fish in a baptismal font. We must leave the church building and go where the fish are. Jesus did. He didn't hide out in the synagogue. Jesus went into the streets, to the marketplaces, into the villages and homes of common people. And so you and I, who answer God's call, must develop friendships with those who are not Christian. If all we see are Christians, if all we know are other Christians, we're not answering God's call. We must reach out to people in need, bringing the love of God wherever they are. Sharing the good news of God's love means offering a word of hope, a word of forgiveness, a word of love, a gospel of grace to folk beyond our church walls. We must cast our nets beyond the gunwales of our own boat. When Jesus called his disciples, they had to leave their boats and their fishing village and journey to new places. When God called Jonah, he had to reach out to the enemies of Nineveh. Where is God calling you to cast your net? Where is God calling Calvary to cast our net? Our call is none other than to repent and believe the good news. Amen and amen.
Now, if you'll stand and turn in your hymnals to page 344. If you can speak Spanish, please sing the English words. If you cannot, please sing the Spanish words. Thank you.
Wait right there for just a second until we pronounce the benediction, and then you can lead the way out. And you know what he's doing, don't you? He's leading us with the light of Christ.
Amen.
These two lights on the altar represent humanity and divinity. That's why there are two lights. And he is taking the light of Christ where? Out into the world. And we follow Christ into this world and invite them and love them where they are, who they are, and preach God's salvation by the witness of our lives and our testimony. May the grace and love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.